We began a series of messages last week on the subject, the greatest prophecy ever fulfilled, based upon Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. And by God's help and by God's grace, we seek to continue these messages today. In our first message, we gave you an overall view of this greatest prophecy ever fulfilled by showing you that in it we see both the goodness of God in sending Christ, His dear Son, to die for His people, and His severity in bringing the Jewish nation to a state of desolation and wrath because of their continued sin of rebellion against Him and their sin of rejecting and crucifying the Lord of glory. These scriptures in Daniel 9 are very explicit that this work of the goodness of God and the severity of God would be done in a framework of 490 years or 70 weeks of days, a year for a day, reaching from the time that King Cyrus of Persia gave the decree for the Jews to go out of Babylonian captivity as recorded in Ezra 1:1-4. Under the baptism of Christ the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. This was to be accomplished in 483 years, or 69 weeks. And then, when the 70th week had gone 3.5 years, then Messiah would be cut off for His people. Now, starting in our message today, we will seek to give a verse-by-verse exposition of this greatest prophecy ever fulfilled, beginning at verse 24. Listen now as we proceed. The 70 weeks, or 490 years, as we explained in our last message, were determined upon the people of Daniel, who were the Jews, upon their city and upon their sanctuary or temple. You see, dear friend, this is what this prophecy is all about. It is God's dealings with the Jewish nation, with the Jewish people, with the city of Jerusalem, and the Jewish sanctuary or temple, watch it now, in a framework of 70 years or 470 weeks or 490 years. And the central figure, the one who stands out above all, is Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God. And this is what it is all about. So let us keep this in mind. You will notice that the first 49 years, or 7 weeks, according to verse 25, were spent in rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, its walls and temple, in very troublous times, which was accomplished under Zerubbabel, Joshua, Ezra, and Nehemiah. And this is definitely recorded in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Dear friend, it is marvelous to me to see God's hand of providence in moving to fulfill this prophecy. You see, God had given to the prophet Jeremiah and also to the prophet Isaiah the exact length of time that the Jewish nation would stay in Babylonian captivity and when and by whom they would be released from this captivity. Jeremiah gives us in his prophecy, chapter 25, verses 11 and 12, these words: "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord." Then in Isaiah 44, verse 26, on through the third verse of chapter 45, Isaiah sets forth in prophecy that God would raise up King Cyrus of the Persians to conquer Babylon, to set his people, the Jews, free and to decree that the people should go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, the temple, and the streets in troublous times. Listen to the words that Jeremiah prophesied. He said unto Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and the cities of Judea ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up the rivers, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. And we have the story recorded in the book of Daniel of how when the 70 years was up, the King Cyrus came, even as had been prophesied by Isaiah, the prophet, over 200 years before, that this man Cyrus would come. And then when he conquered the city of Babylon, he would read and understand of this prophecy concerning himself. And then he would give the decree, as recorded in Ezra 1, in 2 Chronicles 36, that the Jews would go back and rebuild the temple. Now, I want you to notice the word determined in verses 24 and verses 27 of Daniel 9. Listen now. The word means that having ascertained, having calculated, having fixed precisely, having settled conclusively in one's mind what he was going to do, he resolved to carry it out. This is precisely what our God has done in this prophecy. He determined that there would be, in the framework of 490 years, certain things that would happen, and they did happen. This period of time would stretch from the giving forth, the going forth of the Jews out of Babylonian captivity, to the cutting off of Messiah upon the cross in the 70th week. In the last 7 years, all of these things. We have already looked at one of them in verse 25, that there would be the rebuilding of Jerusalem again, its streets, walls, and temple in troublous times. Then would follow a period of 441 years, or 63 weeks, in which there would take place these things recorded in verse 24, that there would be the finishing of transgression, there would be making an end of sins, there would be making reconciliation for iniquity, there would be bringing in everlasting righteousness, there would be the sealing up of the vision and prophecy, and there would be the anointing of the most holy place. And then, of course, the thing set forth in verse 27, that Messiah, when he was baptized at the end of the 483rd year, that as the 70th week of Daniel would start, he himself would confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, or after 3.5 years into the 70th week, he would cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Are you listening? It is very essential to a right understanding of this prophecy to keep in mind that these things of verse 24 and 27 were to be fulfilled and now have been fulfilled by Christ being cut off in the middle of the 70th week. And it should be kept in mind what was to follow immediately after this. That is, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven, and then the fulfillment of verse 26 of the desolation and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem by a Roman general named Titus. All right, now let's look at each of these six things in detail that are recorded in verse 24. And then later at the things revealed or recorded in verse 27. First, the expression is used in verse 24 to finish transgressions. You ask the question, what does this mean and to whom does it refer? Listen now. The transgression of Israel had long been the burden of the messages of God's prophets. It was for their transgression that they had been sent into captivity, Babylonian captivity, and that their land and city had been made a desolation for 70 years. Daniel had himself, in his great prayers recorded in the first portion of Daniel 9, had confessed this in verse 11. He said, "Yea, all Israel hath transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they may not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us." But here in verse 24, the angel Gabriel revealed to Daniel the distressing news that the full measure of Israel's transgression was yet to be completed, that the children were yet to fill up the iniquity of their fathers. And that as a consequence, God would bring upon them a far greater desolation than that which had been brought upon them by King Nebuchadnezzar in the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. For to finish the transgression would mean nothing more or nothing less than that they, the Jewish nation, would betray and crucify their promised and expected Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now. It is at this point that we would like to bring before your hearts and minds the similar words spoken by our Lord the Messiah to the leaders of the people, the scribes and Pharisees of his day, as recorded in Matthew 23, 32 and 35. After bringing such a railing accusation against them because of their sins. Listen now. He said, "Fill you up the measure of your fathers, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth." In these words of Christ, we find first a declaration that the hour had come for them to finish the transgression, and second, a strong intimation that the predicted desolation of Daniel 9, of the judgment that was to come, that it was upon this generation that it was to fall. And that appears in the words, "that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth." Then looking closely at Matthew 23:36, we find the awful doom pronounced upon the beloved city and people. Listen to the awful word of judgment. "Verily I say unto you, these things shall come upon this generation." Then he added in verse 38, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Surely there is nothing in all of history comparable to the judgments that were poured out upon Jerusalem at the time of its desolation in AD 70, which was the finishing of transgression and the great desolation of the Jewish people with the cutting of them off from the true olive tree. You see, this awful judgment and desolation that awaited them was so upon our Lord's mind that he was made to cry out in anguish, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." Yea, even when our blessed Lord was on the way to the cross, he thought more of the sufferings that would come upon that generation because they were to finish the transgression that he did of his own sufferings that would have come upon the cross. In Luke 23, verses 23 through 31, these words of compassion and love and mercy are expressed. Listen. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the peps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? What our Lord is saying here is this. Now if he, the innocent one, the green tree, was made the object of such ill treatment and plunged into such suffering, what will happen to those who are guilty, that is, the dry tree, when judgment falls upon them, like it did, we know, in the fulfillment of this prophecy in A.D. 70, in the fall of Jerusalem? My dear friend, are you beginning to see this great prophecy unfold before our eyes, and the awful judgment of which it speaks? Let me warn you right here. If you fulfill your transgressions against God and bow not at His feet in repentance and trust His Son for salvation for your sins, you too shall be cut off in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of His glory. Oh, my friend, let me ask you, have you found mercy in the hiding place which God has provided in Christ from His wrath? Let me repeat something right here that I said in last week's message. No wonder Satan has blinded the minds of so many today as to the true interpretation of the prophecy concerning the 70 weeks of Daniel 9. He has done it because it reveals the severity of God, the judgment of God against sin, whether it be upon a whole nation or an individual. In this case, it was on the whole nation of Israel. It was the utter and complete cutting off of that whole nation, from which the nation as such has never and will never return. We got God cut them off in A.D. 70. Now, certain Jews after the flesh can and will be saved according to Romans 11, 23 to 25. But dear friend, they will be saved in the only way anybody can be saved, and that is by repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. They can only be saved by the deliverer who came out of Zion, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself upon Calvary's Mount for sin. This is what is told us in the second thing mentioned in verse 24 of Daniel 9, and it is that Messiah, when He was cut off in the middle of the 70th week, made an end of sins by the sacrifice of Himself. And this, dear friend, we will go into, the Lord willing, in our next message. I believe you've listened. I know that God has been with us in power by His Spirit. And I believe this message has gone home to hearts. And all that there will be the opening up of our eyes and our understanding to see the things that are made for our peace, and that we will be given a right understanding of the 70th week of Daniel. We'll not be deceived by those who preach that this is yet in the future, and their way trying to do away with the severity or the judgment of God against sin. Do you want a copy of these messages when we put them in print? Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.
You have heard the Word of Truth broadcast with Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. If you enjoy this program, be sure and write the Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505.